Thank you for those Bible readings. May I add my welcome to Nick's. It's super to see you here this morning. And welcome if you're joining and participating with us online. In today's Bible reading from Ephesians chapter 5, we learn about the Spirit-filled marriage. That's our topic for this morning. And this is the third talk on marriage from the last few weeks. Firstly, we looked at Jesus' teaching on marriage, looking at that in Mark's Gospel. Then we considered a key question of the present moment in our culture. Must marriage be between a man and a woman? And you can listen to those two talks online through the website and on YouTube. Today we look at Ephesians 5, which is one of the most significant passages in the Bible on the subject of marriage. It contains specific wisdom and instruction for Christian couples. Now, obviously, not everyone here is married. If you're unmarried, I do encourage you to listen carefully, because here's wisdom for you should you get married in the future, and also wisdom for us as a community as we look to support and help those in our church family who are married. And at the moment, a rough count, there are just under 35 married couples in our church at the moment. I'll be referring to various verses from the Ephesians passage as we go through, so it will be helpful if you have that Bible passage open in front of you. And it's on page 1176 in the Church Bibles. By way of introduction, let me explain why this section of teaching is particularly about the work of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled marriage. Please have a look with me at chapter 5, verse 18. Here Paul says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." God wants his people, the church, us gathered here today, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not to be filled with drunkenness. Wine is a gift from God to be enjoyed. But when we drink too much, it goes against God's will, as we see in verses 17 and 18. "Therefore, do not be foolish," writes Paul, "but understand what the Lord's will is, what he wants us to do. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." God wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Getting drunk leads to things breaking apart, the breaking and sometimes destruction of healthy and happy relationships. Instead, God wants us to be full of his Spirit. And the idea here is of a continual, ongoing filling with the Spirit, day by day. Not some one-off event in the past, but a regular thing that's happening. From verse 19, Paul lists some things which will help us to be full of God's Spirit and will produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Now, these may be a surprise to you, things like singing godly songs to each other, as we've already been doing this morning, giving thanks to God for everyday things, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And for some of you, a comment on the original Greek words of Paul's letter may be helpful. If this is a bit too much, don't worry just for a moment. In the original Greek, verses 18 to 21 are all one long sentence, no full stops. So Paul writes, "Be filled with the Spirit," and he follows this with five words which describe being filled with the Spirit: speaking, singing, making music, giving thanks, submitting. And Bible commentator Peter O'Brien translates it like this: "Do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs, spiritual songs. Singing and making music with your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks to God for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ." And then in verse 22, wives to husbands, and it flows on. Now, my reason for explaining this is to show you that submitting is an aspect or fruit of being filled with God's Spirit. I don't think that this is commonly understood as an aspect of the Spirit's work for the average Christian today. And let us just note that for a moment, the possible strangeness of this idea for many, many in the church. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ is a mark of being Spirit-filled. Well, I've got three headings for this sermon, and I hope that the first one will help you to see that submission is a work of God's Spirit in Christian people. Now, this passage has significant content about marriage. It's our focus for today, but it also is helpful to see that Ephesians 5 and 6 say important things about other things, singing to each other as a church, responsibilities of parents and children, and employers and employees, all very interesting and important topics. But we're going to have to leave those for today as we focus on the Spirit-filled marriage. Firstly, husband and wife, be filled with the Spirit. Submit to Christ. Submission is not really a buzzword in our society at the moment. I think we can all agree about that, can't we? But submission is in fact a foundation of the Christian life. Have a look at verse 24. Paul writes, "Now as the church submits to Christ." Paul assumes that this is foundational for Christians. Submission to Christ is kindergarten Christianity. It's the basics. The church, which means God's people gathered in communities like ours here today, the church is to submit to Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church. Paul says that the church is Christ's body. So if you're a Christian here today, you are united to Christ and part of his body. When Paul talks about submitting to Christ, it's really another way of saying that Jesus is your Lord, or Jesus is your King, or your leader, or your ruler. He's the one you follow. And what does submitting to Christ mean in practice? Well, we heard it in the first reading from the end of Matthew's Gospel, where the resurrected Jesus gives instructions to his 11 apostles. They are to make disciples of all nationalities, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded to them. There is submission to Christ, being baptized, obeying his commands. And this body of Jesus' teaching is passed on to us by the apostles in the New Testament. That's where we find Jesus' commands. Perhaps the primary work of God's Holy Spirit in the Christian life is to cause his people, the church, to submit to Jesus' commands in the scriptures. This is the process of sanctification through the Christian life, where we become more pleasing to God and more godly in our behavior and the way we live. But for many Christians, perhaps even for most Christians, I don't think that the first thing we think of when we think of submitting to Christ or following Jesus or being a Christian disciple, we don't think of this as the first thing. Husbands and wives, this is why it's important for you to keep reading the Bible and submitting to Jesus' words together as a couple. This will bless your marriage. Submitting to Christ requires an approach to life that's always open to being corrected by the teaching of Jesus. And let me use a sailing metaphor for a moment. submitting to Christ might mean doing an about turn on a particular issue or aspect of life. In sailing terminology, tacking, a radical change of direction. Or it might mean a subtle repositioning of your direction in order to stay on course, adjusting the sail a little bit, just nudging the tiller. The about turns are more likely to be happening early on in your Christian life. However, they can, of course, happen at any point. Adjusting the sail, gently moving the tiller, well, that is essential day by day through the Christian life. Drifting away from Christ's teaching in seemingly small ways can, over time, lead to going very much off course. And this is the call of every Christian person, whether you're married or not. And if you are married, if you seek to do this, it will be a great benefit to your marriage. You'll be keeping in tune with the Creator of the universe. But it can be hard to do, can't it? It can be hard to be obedient to Christ's words in the Scriptures. So I say to all of you, married and unmarried, pray and ask God to help you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you'll be able to submit to Christ's teachings. They come from the Creator's handbook. They are the best way to live. Husband and wife, be filled with the Spirit, submit to Christ. Secondly, wife, be filled with the Spirit, submit to your husband as you submit to Christ. Please look with me at verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. This is, of course, deeply countercultural teaching in our present society. In England, until the year 2000, the vows that a man and woman promised in a Church of England wedding service were not exactly the same. They were identical, except that the wife promised to obey her husband. And the fact that they were not identical fitted with this passage of the Bible's teaching. In the Common Worship wedding service, which was published in the year 2000, the vows are now identical, and the older vows are given as an option in a supplementary text further on in the book. Ephesians 5 contains deeply challenging verses for our day and age. In the media, equality is now held as the chief virtue, and everything seems to be measured against it, as if it was the only thing that mattered. So equality is an important virtue, but it shouldn't be made the chief virtue. There are many other important things, like love and the virtue of patience, faithfulness and truthfulness, self-control and submission. When equality is elevated above all the other virtues, things go wonky and cultural problems arise, as has been shown in the communist experiments of the 20th century. The cultural pressure against the teaching of Ephesians 5 has been so strong that the Church of England even changed the historic vows, which had stood for hundreds of years. So this is our context. But if we're to follow Scripture, then the idea that a Spirit-filled wife will submit to her husband is clearly stated. There it is in verse 22. Now, many people who get married in Church of England churches are not Christians, And it does seem tough to expect them to follow teaching that is written for Christian people who have the Holy Spirit to help them. And on this point, Christian marriages should look different from other marriages in our society. Let's explore these verses a bit more. Verse 23. Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So I've got a diagram to hopefully illustrate this. I do apologize for slightly rudimentary graphics, which we're all I can manage, but I hope it communicates something helpful. So we're to think of a human body. Christ is the head, and the church is his body. When we think of the church, we should think of the local church of people who follow Christ together week by week, like our church. And we should also think of, if you like, the total church throughout the world and down through history, through the centuries. Within the church are lots of households or families making up the body of Christ. And within each household are wives, husbands, and children. So zeroing in on the husband and wife relationship, in each marriage, the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, as it says in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. So the marriage relationships within a church community model the relationship of Christ and his church. Christ the head, church his body, husband the head, wife his body. Now, Paul doesn't flesh out the details beyond the general principle. This is something that individual couples need to work out for themselves. And Paul doesn't write that husbands should seek to enforce their wife's submission. This is not a text for tyrants to use. It's not a mandate for abuse. Rather, submission is to be the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the wife's heart. Our culture doesn't find submission an easy thing to do in a whole range of contexts. Submission is deeply unfashionable at the moment. Remember, submitting ourselves to Jesus' teaching comes first. Every Christian, male or female, is called to submit to Christ. And if we haven't learned by the Spirit to submit ourselves to Christ's teaching, then it's unlikely that we'll be able to submit to others in different relationships. Later in chapter 6, verse 1, children are directed to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And in chapter 6, verse 4, fathers are told to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Do children find it easy to obey their parents? Well, no, not all the time. Do fathers find it easy to teach their children the Bible, to train and instruct them in the Lord's ways? Well, no, it's a challenge. And I've certainly found it to be a challenge in my own family. This teaching in this section of Ephesians is not easy teaching. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to live rightly. So, wives present today and listening online, pray that God's Spirit will fill you and help you to submit to your husband. Thirdly and finally, husbands, be filled with the Spirit. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. Teaching about a wife submitting to her husband is countercultural in the UK. With the idea of a husband loving his wife, everyone would basically agree that this is a good thing. But actually, it's still a countercultural statement. And let me explain why. Let's have a look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. To understand these verses, we need to understand how Jesus saves the church and what God's end goal is for the church. Jesus gave himself up for the church in order to save the church, which is his body. And he did this by dying on the cross. He gave himself up to death for the church. And the basic idea is that a swap takes place when Jesus is on the cross. Jesus swaps our sins for his righteousness. He takes our dirty sins that stain us and require God's judgment. He takes them onto himself. And in return, Jesus gives us his perfect righteousness. In doing this, Jesus washes us, so that when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see a sinner whom he must rightly judge, but he sees a saint covered by the righteousness of Jesus. And this is why the cross is the central symbol of the Christian religion and why we have it on the Lord's table behind me. This is the love of God in action. Paul uses the picture of Jesus' self-sacrifice on the cross, the giving up of himself, as a picture of how a husband is to love his wife. The husband is to give himself up for his wife. Can you see that this is also countercultural? This is a hard thing to do. Men are selfish. We love ourselves. And what was Jesus' goal in giving himself up for the church? It was to make the church holy, to cleanse us, to present us to himself as a radiant church, holy and blameless. Paul is picturing the church as Jesus' bride at a wedding. Jesus' bride, pure, beautified, looking the best she's ever looked. And this is Jesus' final goal in giving himself up for us, that when he returns to bring his kingdom, that we will be with him. And we will be glorious. The church will be glorious. He will be glorious. And we'll be glorious like a radiant bride on her wedding day. Jesus died on the cross to purify us for our future life with him. He wants a people who will live in a good and right relationship with him. And Jesus went to great lengths to achieve this. Husbands here today, including myself, Jesus wants you to go to great lengths to love your wives, to love our wives, and to lay down our lives for them. Now, it is difficult for me to preach this bit of God's word to you. Can I really say that I'm obedient to these verses in how I relate to my own wife, Georgina? Do I really lay down my life for her? If anyone were to ask her, does Francis lay down his life for you as Christ laid down his life for the church? What would she answer? These verses are humbling for me. And this teaching is challenging for men in marriage. Christian husbands here today, we need the Spirit's help to enable us to rise above our own natural self-centeredness. Paul says in verse 28, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Well, men, we're good at loving our own bodies, aren't we? Feeding, feeding them, pampering them, giving our bodies what they want. Christian men, you know how to take care of yourself. We should do the same feeding and caring for our wives, just as Christ does the church. So there's a particular call here to make sure that our wives are spiritually nourished so that they stay strong in the Lord Jesus. Husband, pray for the Spirit to fill you so that you can love your wife as Christ loved the church. Let me summarize as I come to finish. People of God, be filled with God's Spirit. Husbands and wives and all Christian people, be filled with the Spirit. Submit to Christ daily. Wife, submit to your husband as you submit to Christ. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Let's turn to prayer. We'll have a moment of quiet for you to reflect on this message in this passage of scripture, maybe to pray quietly in your own heart, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray as your church community that you will fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Help us to submit to the teachings of Jesus Christ, your Son, individually and as a community. We pray for the wives in our church that you will fill them with your Spirit and enable them to submit to their husbands. And we pray for the husbands amongst us, including myself, asking that you will fill us with your Spirit so that we can love our wives as Christ loved the church, giving ourselves up for them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.